Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I am thrilled that you're here. So welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org or maybe at our site, franklyspeakingradio.com, in which case you'll see quite simply our guest information. Our guest tonight is also our sponsor here for this hour. We certainly appreciate him. He has written an incredible book. In my opinion, it is a must-have. It's something everybody should have. The book is called Privacy Crisis. And you can pick this up a variety of different places. Privacycrisis.com has the hardbound copy. It also has an e-book for those of you who prefer to do everything digitally. You can pick it up used at Amazon.com, which certainly a great opportunity for you guys to get things at a discount there. And you can also, if you don't have the computer and maybe you don't like to go to the bookstore and do all that stuff, you can always call Borders Bookstore and have it shipped to you simply by calling 702-433-6222. That's 702-433-6222. Now, when I said simply have it shipped to you, of course, you do have to pay for it. I don't think Borders is going to simply ship it to you with an IOU or anything. But let me tell you, this book is worth its weight in platinum. There is so much information in here about keeping your identity safe and secure. And it's not just simply for all the variety of reasons you've heard in the past. I mean, obviously, we've always been hearing about identity theft as a big issue. And this thing will certainly help with that. But it's more. It's more than that. All of the different reasons that we've been told to keep our information secure and private, these are simply the demands being put on us now. It's amazing. You know, we've been told for years and years and years, hey, you got to keep this stuff private. You got to keep your personal information personal because identity thieves will steal your identity and harm you in a variety of different ways. And then now we find out that in order to cash a check, cut at the same bank, you still have to do fingerprints and you got to sign and you got to do this and you got to do a little dance. And it's just, you know, it's always something. Anyway, I hate that stuff. And there is a solution, folks. That's what we're into here is solution-based radio, and we've got it for you, and it's all in the form of this book, Privacy Crisis, Identity Theft Prevention Plan, and Guide to Anonymous Living, author Grant Hall. Welcome back, sir.
Oh, good morning, Frank.
Good morning to you, and thank you again for being here. Thank you for sponsoring this hour, and thank you for writing the greatest privacy book I've ever read.
Well, thank you for the compliment. That's very much appreciated. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah.
Americans today, contrary to what they are told often in the media, have the greatest opportunity in history to enjoy personal and business privacy.
Amen.
And this comes about through what Americans have always done during a crisis, and that is tap into the entrepreneurship and the innovation of new products, new services, new information. Republic Broadcasting and Frank Whalen are two such examples, whereas they're giving the public access to real information about freedom. We've got privacy software, privacy-oriented companies, and the book Privacy Crisis, just to name a few of the opportunities we have to solve whatever problems we have today, and they are many, but we have the resources from which to draw to solve any problems that are thrown at us in the way of invasiveness into your personal and or your business privacy.
Oh, well, very well said, my friend, and I appreciate the unduly kind words. But your book certainly does that and more. And there's a lot of great information for people to read. All they got to do is go to the website there, privacycrisis.com, and read all about that stuff. And you can also see what you have in store for you when you end up picking up this incredible book. As I mentioned, it is a must-read. It is a must-own. And it does point out a great many things that I guarantee you, even if you probably consider yourself to be the greatest most thorough privacy-minded individual, you're going to pick up things in this book simply in the way that it's written, such as case studies and examples from people who have been in similar situations. It's truly, truly amazing. Stay with us, folks. We're back in 3 minutes.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit soleywellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines, specialized in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. This hour we have our special guest with us, Grant Hall. He's also our sponsor. PrivacyCrisis.com is the website. And for those who have questions, I know we ended up taking calls longer than we had you scheduled for, my friend, and I appreciate you staying on with us last week. But for those who have questions, you're more than welcome to call in now, 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Grant Hall, welcome back, sir.
Yes, Frank, I'm very excited because most of the questions that folks have can be answered, and certainly this may not appear to be the most exciting, and in fact it is a serious subject, but really everything is doable, and in fact it's doable in the United States in terms of accomplishing really good high-level privacy.
I love that because, you know, a lot of people have said that too, and they've said, well, that's it, I'm out of here, I'm going somewhere else. Look, you know, this is the country that I grew up in. This is the country that I've loved since I first knew, you know, exactly what I was getting myself into, being, you know, being a U.S. citizen. And we've always been privileged in this country, and this is no exception at all. We're privileged to have these things available to us here. We just have to know how to use them and know what they're all about. And one of the things that we had started off with, my friend, is just sort of talking about how it used to be fairly simple to keep your business to yourself if you were so inclined to do so. And you mentioned that you first yell out their social security numbers and phone numbers and addresses at various places. And it's always amazed me that people would not take more caution with that. But one of the things that I discovered is that we're required to, you know, supposedly by law, to put forth so much information and so much about ourselves into whatever we're doing, and supposedly for anti-terrorism safety, but I don't believe that. I think it's just simply getting us used to this idea that, that our lives are open book, but without us having a say in the matter. And go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I do agree with what you're saying.
It's awful.
And I agree about the fact that the powers that think they're the powers that be want to have, in fact, the citizen's life be an open book for just a matter of control. In fact, I'm finding more and more people that agree with that. As I travel, as I did this last weekend, that very topic came up, and I asked the question that you just answered, and that is, why? Why is all this happening? And the lady said, control. And I believe strongly that that's the motivation behind this. When I was 8 years old, I opened my first bank account, and I don't remember having a Social Security number tied. In fact, now that I think about it a second, I know that it was tied to that. Mm-hmm. And I can remember when there were real bank managers that knew their business, and myself and my dad would go into the bank, and we would be treated like customers, and we our money was our business, and that isn't the case many years later. So I think that we as Americans have a responsibility to exercise our privacy rights, and I'm here to help you do it.
Bravo, sir. Well said. Well, you know, one of the things that we've talked about a lot is the banking and different things like that, because it is important. We all have money. We all have money that we need to have protected in some capacity or, you know, whatever the case may be. And we talked about personal safety, obviously, last week in conjunction with the shooting that happened earlier in that day. What I wanted to discuss a little bit here is travel, because this is something everybody else does. And as we head into the warmer months, and provide we can afford to travel because of the price of gasoline and whatnot, we're probably going to look to do something like that. Maybe take a trip with the family, maybe just get away from town, get out of town, do something. Most people like travel. They like to see new things and just change their viewpoint for a couple of days even. And, you know, obviously, airfare certainly isn't cheap. So most people might drive. Now, this is an intriguing thing because, obviously, everybody, for the most part, probably travels. Everybody, for the most part, probably has a car and a driver's license and car insurance and car registration and things like that. So, you know, when you're looking at these things, I think it's important to look at all this stuff. The driver's license have changed quite a bit over the years, and looking at the forthcoming national ID card and standardized driver's licenses, as they would call them, we can see that this is an issue for concern. In fact, I believe up in Washington State, they're starting that this summer, Grant. They're actually going to embed these driver's licenses in this pilot program with RFID chip. And now, because most people, you know, could travel back and forth across the border between U.S. and Canada with relative ease, then they just changed the rules, I think it was in January, saying that you're now required to have a passport across the border. You're also required to have a passport to go like the Bahamas and things like that that you really need before, including Mexico and places like that. Well, what they're doing in Washington is that if you get their brand new RFID chip embedded driver's license, you don't need to get the passport. So that's what they'll say. They'll say, look, the new passport costs, you know, $100, and the driver's license only costs $30, and with this, you don't need to get the other one. So, you know, they're trying to coax people into giving up their sense of freedom and certainly their anonymity by, you know, buying into the convenience of a more affordable and easier option, because they're going to say, hey, look, we need to have these driver's licenses all looking like this very soon. And hey, you might as well jump the gun, and we'll reward you by allowing you to go to Canada, something like that.
Right. You're a little bit more up to date on that particular state's driver's license than I happen to be. But in any case, I think that is the trend, is to try to track people by some national identification card. However, there are some states that are resisting that. I think I've mentioned three or four on the air before that have made noises about not having such a driver's license or not being tied to the national ID card, mm-hmm. which is scheduled or used to be scheduled to be in May 2008.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to take this as it comes, and in my own case, I don't plan on carrying a chip driver's license. In fact, the driver's license I have is good for a number of years, and there are ways to maximize your privacy through your driver's license, and that's mentioned explicitly in the book how that is done. But I'm out with this and all information that I present on the air and in the book. The goal here and my intention is to only relay information to the readers and listeners that is 100% legal. And it is all above board, and there's no reason to do anything different as you work towards having a private law. It's just not necessary to do anything except follow law of the country and of your given jurisdiction.
No, amen. I mean, no one to stir the pot. I mean, this is simply, these are the same techniques, I think, that the powers that be, or you call them, and I like that much better, the powers that think they that they utilize for themselves, which is why, you know, when you look at, you know, the presidential race back in 2004, you know, George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, John F. Kerry, and John Edwards, all multimillionaires. But obviously when you hear, oh, you know, Dick Cheney has $5 million and George Bush has $10 million, that's lies. I mean, that's all they have on paper that have the media can discern by digging deep into these records and whatnot. I mean, they have things tied up in places that we'll never know about and, you know, different ways, and certainly some of the ways that you are utilizing here in this book, I would imagine. So, I mean, these are the same things that they're using, and it's just, you know, it's just something they didn't want us to know about. That's all. It's not at all.
Right. There is a section in the book that provides a lot of different options for business entities and for asset protection and that sort of thing. This may or may not be applicable to each individual person that reads the book, however. I just can't help but comment on what you said. I remember reading the first year of the current administration as a power in office that Dick Cheney he admitted to paying, over $36 million in federal taxes. That was in print. So
wow.
That amounts to a lot of money.
Yeah.
Let alone the net worth of somebody of that amount of wealth.
Wow.
And just imagine with all the no-bid contracts and all the rest of it, what that wealth has accumulated to in the past 6.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. There are techniques that the wealthy have enjoyed for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And some of these, I suppose, probably are similar, or maybe some of the very same ones that are mentioned in the book.
Mm-hmm.
These have to do with entities and trusts and so forth that may or may not be of use to each individual person. But I pride myself in writing a book that took a long period of time that is a comprehensive reference book for every single aspect of personal and business privacy that everyone mm-hmm. can use, regardless of what their level of business or stage in life happens to be. There's mm-hmm. something in there for everybody. It's completely divided into 8 different parts, and I'm just very confident that that the book is suitable for everybody that has privacy as a goal.
Oh, yeah, and I think, too, for the most part, that a lot of people may think, well, I don't really need to be any more private than I am, or I don't need any more protection than I already have. I think you might be surprised. If you take a look at this book and you discover what is available to you, you might salivate, as I did when I first read it, and say, you know, I've looked at these things before, Grant, and to me they've always been unattainable, unachievable, not worth effort. But like I said, there's just, with all the case studies and the examples that you give, it makes it seem important. Hold on, folks. We're right back in 3.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan document, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but with the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a deal for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I am thrilled that you're here, mostly because you get to benefit from the plethora of information bouncing around in the skull of our guest here, Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis. And, of course, I would say much of that information has gone down into this book, and this is a must-have book. And Grant, welcome back.
Yes, it is a must-have book for the people that really want freedom and privacy.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned earlier, there is something for everyone in the book.
Yeah.
Nearly everyone drives today or travels, and with the information contained in the book, one can avoid being traced in their car as they drive. Typically, the license plates are tied to the individual driving car, and I've outlined ways that are proven, I use them myself, to avoid that kind of identification. So that's one of the reasons that everybody, or most everybody, can benefit from the book.
Sure. Well, that was, like I mentioned, one of the things that really impressed me about the book was the way it had, like, case studies. And I assume you collected these over time with all the people you've dealt with. But there was one story about some people, one person maybe driving in a car and basically having another car speed up behind them and really follow them for quite a while. An unnerving experience for anybody. And, certainly I've had it happen to me a number of times. I've certainly had it happen to people I know, especially, the gals. I mean, that's a very frightening experience. And one of the things that a lot of people would be concerned about who knew enough would say, well, they certainly were riding my tail for long enough to be able to copy down my driver's license. Or my license plate information, in which case they can figure out where I live, they can figure out where I get my bill sent, whatever the case may be. So that's a perfect reason why you should be really cautious about driving. And if you want to tell her, you're more than welcome to do so, because I think it's stuff like that really drives home how much this is important to everybody.
Right. It really is, Frank, and that story is an actual happening.
Mm-hmm.
If one has no ties from their car or where the addresses of record are in terms of that being a personal link to themselves, then going to not be confronted with a problem if somebody were to do what you just suggested they can do in many cases, and that is tie your license to you and therefore track you down that way. As we've read in many histories of crime and so forth, many people are harmed because they have their information on record that is accessible to people that have access to DMV databases or just other public records. And so really the serious way to handle this is to avoid those very links to yourself, and that's explained fully in that particular chapter.
Sure, it's fantastic. So if somebody is wanting to do this for the first time, Grant, they don't need to simply sell their car and then buy a new one in order to do it correctly, do they?
Oh, that's a kind of a debatable subject, and my own experience is that no, you don't have to actually outright sell the car, but rather do something that is, say, for example, somebody has the car titled in their name as we speak, and they want to make it more private. Then essentially one could do a dummy sale, which just amounts to them getting a different plate and actually selling the car for a certain amount. And I think there's probably a minimal tax that would be due to them in that case. And what would amount to the transaction going from an individual to a trust is preferred entity for a car. And then the owner of record would be the trust, and an address would be changed to the trust's address, and certainly to remove it from one's home address. And on the other hand, there are people that are so particular that they would want to sell a car and leave no trail to themselves as the owner. In my experience, it just depends on what an individual would prefer.
I see. So just for the sake of people who aren't familiar with that, what is a trust specifically?
Oh, it's just a paper document that has right to own property, and in the case that we've talked about here, it one would use a trust that has that capability. It would need a several different components in order to be a legal entity. Frankly, I am not an expert in trusts, but I use them, and I've always had an attorney draw up mine. Off the top of my head, I guess I can tell you what the main features are. You have to have a grantor, a trustee, and a beneficiary, and essentially it's just a the grantor transfers the property, the beneficiary benefits from it, and the trustee manages it. So that, in a nutshell, is what a trust would be.
Wow. And again, all this is in great detail in these books, folks. We'll give out all the information when we come back here in 3 minutes. Stay with us. More Frank Speaking Radio with our special guest, Grant Hall.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can truth.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut, metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for a regular jog 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services can help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integridebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new power generator for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kens.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Well, I drop my head again. I try not to sink in. This world I made from you.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am very, very pleased that you're here tonight, folks, because you get the benefit of our guest, Grant Hall. He has written an amazing book, Something You Need. I think I can say that safely. You can pick this up several ways. PrivacyCrisis.com, you can buy it via ebook, electronic book, or you can order it a bound copy there. You can also go to Amazon.com and look for it used, which is certainly the cost-effective way to do so. And if you'd prefer to do it over the phone, you can call Border Store, have it shipped right to you simply by calling 702-433-6222. That's 702-433-6222. Our phone number is 800-313-9443. If you'd like to pick the brain of our guest here tonight, Grant Hall, you can do so for 25 minutes. Grant, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, it's interesting. I was just looking at the calls, and, you know, one of our first ones here, Mary from Georgia. Mary, welcome. Mary?
Right?
Hey, there you are.
Oh, something happened. I didn't know if I was on.
it beeps when people get put through. But, you know, it was interesting when I saw your name there, because I remember when I got my first Georgia driver's license where I had to get fingerprinted for that. And
oh,
it made
I
me
know.
Think of... Yeah, because that was the first state I had ever heard of doing something like that. And, of course, it's pretty much seems to be standard operating procedure these days. In Arkansas, they do it now as well.
Well, actually, there were three states when it first started. I know Texas was one,
mm-hmm.
and Georgia was one, and I don't remember what the other state was. But when I told my husband about that, he said he was going to get some sandpaper and rub his prints off.
Yeah, well, it's tempting to think that you might need to do something like that. Grant, I mean, obviously, this is something that a lot of people are dealing with, and, you know, it's just going to get worse and worse as time goes on. But one of the things that you had mentioned, I believe, on a previous show is that there's one in particular, a state in particular, where you get one license, and that's good for, well, gosh, like years and years and years, correct?
That's right. There is a state like that. the state happens to be Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and as far as I know, it's still the longest-term driver's license one can receive. And in theory, one could go in when they're 16 and not have to go back until they're 65.
That's
what it says on the paperwork, and that's what it says on the license.
That's great.
And I guess people in government sometimes change the middle of the game, but that's the way it stems as we speak.
That's wonderful, because obviously, you know, in the course of, I guess, as you live 50 years or so, around 50 years, you know, inevitably they're going to change the drivers. They're going to change the different ways that they secure people's identity and tie them to the driver's licenses. So, you know, you get to certainly skip out on all that stuff for the most part. But I digress. Mary, I'm sorry. What was your question?
Well, okay, I'm going to say one more thing about the driver's license, then I'll ask the guest question. Now, when they come out this driver's license thing, got your fingerprints, they said it was for you know, so people couldn't get a driver's license, false license.
Sure.
So I was at Walmart parking one day, and somebody stole my pocketbook. So when I went back to the driver's license place to get them renewed, they wanted three identifications to get it. And I said, well, you got my fingerprints. That's what you said the fingerprints was for. I could put my finger in a hole, and you know me.
Yeah.
But yet they wanted three these proving it was you. So what was the real purpose of the fingerprint?
That's an excellent question. An excellent question, I think.
Odd.
Yeah, well, I thought, you know, Grant, it's exactly like you said. It's about control.
I don't know what kind of a fingerprint or scan they took. Many times they don't take a full-fledged fingerprint as would if they were booking somebody for a crime. This may have been a couple or just a thumbprint. I don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something American elaborate on.
Well,
but
I think in Georgia it's your two index fingers.
Yeah.
Well, it's your index finger, the one after your thumb.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the one that
I don't know. I don't know what kind of a database or how accurate that is, but I guess they probably get what they need. No, I'm not for any of that. I think that is a terrible invasion of people's privacy, and frankly, I just don't care for that at all.
See, and that's the important thing here that we need to stress. You know, Mary, and you know, you set that off by talking about how, you know, your pocketbook was stolen. So your identity, you know, everything that you, aside from you, your person, but everything on paper in a digitized form that makes you who you are, basically taken from you, and of course they're asking for forms of identification, and so obviously it's like, geez, you know, all that was just stolen, so thanks for nothing.
Well, but it just proved to me that your fingerprint wasn't used. They put it out there.
See, and that's the problem, though, is that we're not outraged by things anymore. We've just come to accept them. They've been around for so long that we just said, hey, you know, oh well, I'll just go get photo and fingerprinted again, and I'll wait my, you know, however long it takes for you to send me all my new documentation. But we should be upset by this. These are legitimate invasions of privacy in every possible conceivable sense of the word. It's just that instead of an evil hacker somewhere across the world seeking to steal our identity, this is our government saying, prove who you are 24/7, and we'll make it more and more complicated, more and more involved every time. You know, we stopped being upset with this. We stopped remembering what our authority is here and what our rights are. We've forgotten all these things, and it's a real tragedy to me.
Well, talk about people that lay down and people that stand up. Now, me and my husband was in a situation one time, probably about 6 years ago, and these stupid cops up there in Hall County in Georgia, they come out there and they didn't know what to do, so they just arrested everybody, even the victim, which was me. And now my husband, he did what he had to do and did his community service and his fines and all this stuff. Well, I didn't do that because I'm a fighter. And I said, no, I was falsely arrested. If it cost me $2,500, a lawyer. But I was not going to cow-tail to them people.
Good for you.
So, okay.
Good for
now,
you.
As for your guest, I hadn't heard anybody talking about this, but my husband is a truck driver, and he got a letter in the mail the other day and said that all CDL drivers, commercial drivers, had to go take this test for Homeland Security to be a highway watch person.
Oh, yeah.
You heard about that?
Sure, Citizen Tattletales, absolutely.
Yeah. And so we had to get a DVD, and we had to watch it, and he had to fill out 2 pages of answers and registration, all this, and they're going to send him back a card with the ID number, so if he calls in, they'll know that he's the highway watch.
Mm.
Now, on the questionnaire was, why did you take this program? And one of them was, because it was required of my position, and that's exactly what we checked. Because neither one of us really liked this. But if you see, now what my husband was worried about, well, if I'm out there on the road and I see something suspicious and I call it in and it turns out to be nothing, then I'm going to be harassed by everybody.
Certainly possible.
What does your guest think of that?
You know, Mary, I can't really elaborate much on what you just said. I don't happen to be familiar with the business of truck driving, or even I'm aware that they have a different license as they use it for driving cross country. But I really don't have anything to add to what you said, I guess.
Well, I guess the main thing is that, you know, with him being a part of this program, you know, that's an additional document. It's an additional registration. It's additional personal information that's out there. And I don't know what your options could be as far as, you know, protecting yourself and his privacy in this regard. But it certainly does expand the need for protecting what you can, such as your person. Your personal driver's licenses, you know, your non-business-oriented driving licenses and car registration and things like that. I mean, these are things you can do to protect yourself, Mary, and something that maybe your husband should look into. Does he own his own truck?
No, he drives for a company.
Okay, all right.
But one of the questions on the thing was, how can we improve our program? And he wrote down, make it voluntary instead of mandatory. Because, you know, people don't like to be told what they got to do.
No, that's true.
I think you'd have more people helping if it was voluntary instead of mandatory.
That's true. And honestly, I don't know of anybody who would simply just ignore something like that. I don't know of anybody that would simply see something suspicious and just let it stand, because you never know when that's going to come back to haunt you, you know? So it seems silly for in my mind for them to force people doing these things. So
It kind of reminds me of the thing that they had. Young and spying on people.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's spying on people.
Yeah,
that's where I see it going.
That's exactly where it's going, Mary. Well, I hope that you find some resolution there. But I would urge you to seriously think about that in terms of your personal vehicles and your personal driver's licenses and looking into securing those for the most part, because that could very well be an important thing. I mean, obviously, if it's mandatory for work, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do. But, you know, there are still options out there, and, you know, he's not always going to be working. So, you know, look into it from that angle, I would say.
Well, what we did is, you know, my husband, if he saw something strange, he would call.
Oh, I know he would. I know
and,
he would.
But, you know, all this mess you got to go through and do this and all that and be obligated. And,
no.
You know,
it's a pain.
It gets on your nerve.
It does. As well, you're good people, though, so, you know, you'll be all right.
Okay, well, I appreciate you, Frank.
Thank you so much, Mary. You take care.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Let's go to Will in Missouri. Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Frank.
Of course.
I've got a question for both of you. I've got a series of, or kind of, I guess you could almost say, a volley of these American community surveys that are coming in from the Census Bureau. And in their documentation, they claim that they ask the question, do I have to answer the questions on the American Community Survey? And then it says, yes, your response to the survey is required by law, Title 13, U.S. Code, Sections 14-193, Title 13 is changed by Title 18, and so on. You go and look at those, and you know, about the maximum that I can see in here is a $100 fine for telling these people to go fish with all the questions that they're asking you. I was wondering.
That's what they're trying to do, is fish.
Sure, they're going fishing. Of course they are. It's an exploration, and they'd like to collect all the information they can. But it really comes down to Title 141, where, you know, it's basically just a apportionment for the selection of a representative. So just ask your guest, what is his experience, or what would be his counsel in regards to taking this thing and putting it in a round file and walking on down the road?
Hmm. That's interesting, Grant, because I wonder about that as far as the census takers and different surveys that, you know, I guess the ones that they send to you in the mail, you know, if it doesn't come to your residence, I don't even know what your options are for something like that. It would seem that it's an out, and certainly, of course, when they come knock on the door, you don't always have to answer, but that's just me. But, Grant, you take it, buddy.
I receive that kind of mail overseas if it's received and I ever see it.
Oh, that's good.
But in my opinion, that's really not a problem, mail of that kind. I don't fill out forms and send them into the government unless it's absolutely required by law. And like I said, I'm not an attorney, but junk mail that I receive is either thrown away or else I take care of when I receive it. Mm-hmm. I would encourage everybody to just use their judgment when they receive mail.
Yeah, I think, Will, that you might be very, very, you might benefit greatly from the section about dealing with mail and things like that, because quite simply, I mean, if it says resident, you know, if it doesn't come to your residence, maybe you'll never see it.
Well, you know, one of the things about the way they style this, Frank, and mm-hmm. If anyone out there is listening that might want to call in and share what their experience has been with it, but it says, you know, the Census Bureau chose your address, not you personally. That's their word. Mm-hmm. As part of a randomly selected sample. So basically, they've chosen my address, so they're conducting their business with a poor, dumb, secondhand box that stands on a post out near the highway. And, you know, if they want to try and get their artificial intelligence to communicate with my metal box, you're more than welcome to sit out there and see what kind of a response it gets. But as soon as you open up, you can see the deception, because they're not talking to your address. They're talking to you personally, mm-hmm. and they want to enter into a personal dialogue and then bring in all kinds of, you know, financial questions and whatnot.
Sure.
So really, you know, they do oppose this in a sense that it says here about 3 weeks ago, blah, 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 the U.S. Census Bureau sent a community survey, blah, blah, blah. I asked you to help us with this very important survey by completing mm-hmm. it, but we've not received it yet. If you already mailed your questionnaire, then blah, blah, blah. But the survey is so important that a Census Bureau representative mm-hmm. may attempt to contact you by telephone or personal visit if we do not receive your questionnaire. So now we're off into threats.
Yeah.
You know, well, and the man from the government is going to come and get you. But when you do read the section that they refer to, the maximum, it seems to be, that's involved here is a $100 fine. And they don't say that anywhere in their document.
Well, yeah, I mean, you may want to wait it out. But here's the thing, my friend, and this is something, Grant, I think you should speak on. But the gist of it is this, is that your house is simply your house. It doesn't need to have a number attached to it. It doesn't need to even have a mailbox, okay? If you're getting your mail somewhere else, there's no way they could even get that to you. You see what I mean? And when they say randomly selected from what?
Exactly.
Selected from all of the different records and all the different places where your name and your address are tied to, which is a perfect reason why people can disappear from these things. Then you don't have all these issues. You don't have these surveys, and you don't have these census issues. And I don't even know if you have jury duty as a result of that, but it seems to me like you could virtually disappear from any and all hassles. Grant, what are your thoughts?
I agree, and first of all, I emphasize the point of not receiving personal mail at your home address, and I also talk in depth about your communication system being totally private, and we've already mentioned the privacy that one can have in their driving of the automobile they use. So if you cover the very basic bases here, as I've outlined in the book, you're not going to be bothered, and you're not going to have to sweat this small stuff. The real, real important issues are how you handle and how much privacy you have with those things that are important, mainly your banking system and your travel and your living arrangement. These are very, very important, and these are the things you need to make mm-hmm. private and keep private so that you don't have to be bothered with little things.
We have to take a break here.
Sounds great. I'll go for
that.
Thanks
a lot. Well, folks, we're back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleilWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested rest, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-864-271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel, reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. Exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor, and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and very glad you're here. And very glad, of course, to introduce back our special guest and our sponsor of the hour, Grant Hall, PrivacyCrisis.com, and that you, of course, support our sponsors and our advertisers. And Grant, you just, not only are you amazing, but you're doing some great thing. It's so easy to stand behind this and feel good about it, for me anyway.
And Will's question was quite an interesting one in that he mentioned things that come along from time to time. And I'd like to emphasize that it's really very seldom that one has to use their true name in mail correspondence if they want a high level of privacy. For example, we talked about a trust as the vehicle owner previously, and when communication is done with the government agency that holds the DMV or whichever state agency registers the various automobiles that you drive, there's really no need to put your name on any correspondence, or certainly not on the title that go back and forth to the state agency. For example, one can just sign it as trustee when and if a correspondence is necessary. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have your personal name tied to that automobile. When you go in the first time to register it, you might be asked to prove that you are the trustee, and then privacy seekers have used a passport instead of their state-issued driver's license, which is perfectly fine. You're not asking to drive. You're just registering the car and proving your identity to be to do that as being the trustee. And then there's some very particular privacy advocates that haven't even had to do that, and they've used a stand-in person, administrative trustee, that's written into the trust to do that for them, thereby removing themselves entirely from all records, even though the first example would probably not cause a problem because they're buried underneath the microfiche anyway, not even in the records. So, there's just a tremendous amount of resources that one can use, and the beauty of the whole thing is that trusts aren't even registered anyway. In any state that I know of, they're a legal document, but they're totally private. They're not subject to Secretary of State register requirements, as are other business entities.
And see, I think that's so important. And you know, you just don't know who's selling your information. You know, to be a part of some list, and then you start getting bizarre mail, and you start getting people doing surveys and all sorts of things. You know, I don't want any part of that, and I don't know why anybody else would. So, you know, the best way to do that is take yourself off of these lists. You know, make yourself invisible. Get out there and make sure that, there's no cyber fingerprints all over everything that tell people where to find you and how to find you, who you are, where you live, and all that other stuff. Just avoid it.
Yes, and there's various levels that people can do this, depending on their reasons and what they want to accomplish. Certainly, disasters and harm can be alleviated. And many times people are stalked, and many times there's outright horrible incidents like the one we spoke about last week that do occur. And just by making your home address private, you can avoid most of the problems.
Yes,
so, I mean, not only is it practical in removing yourself for privacy purposes, but it's for your own protection as well.
Yeah, such an important point. Grant, can you stay on a little longer and help me with the rest of these calls?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, I look forward to that. Folks, get them in now while you can. We'll see how long we can convince Grant to stay with us. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Stay with us back in about 90 seconds after this brief station identification.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth.